Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Yud B'mal Cheshvan, Parashas Lech Lecha, Tavshinayim Zion, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 10 November 2016. Webcasting from the homeland of the Jews, 70% of whom yesterday in the United States voted for Hillary Clinton. That makes sense. There's a precedent for this. Came time for the children of Israel, after 2 centuries and counting, gestating in Egypt, to be born, to flee slavery for freedom. 80% of them did not want to go, and they perished in the plague of darkness. Then, of the 20% who did run out of Egypt to become a nation at Mount Sinai, 10 of the 12 of their most important citizens came back from investigating the Holy Land and didn't want to leave Sinai. So their whole generation of men died there. 500 years later, 10 of the 12 tribes were taken into captivity by Assyria and never returned. They assimilated out completely. 1.5 centuries later, the remaining southern tribes, 2 of them, with a sprinkling of Levites and Kohens among them, were taken into captivity in Babylon, and when offered the opportunity by Cyrus to return 70 years later, only a small percentage of them did. The remainder, enchanted by Babylon, and against their memories of the far more modest Jerusalem, they not only stayed, but succeeded there and became close to the ruling elite, even attending a banquet in which vessels from the temple was used as ordinary eating utensils, didn't object. One thing led to another. Before you knew it, the king of the Persians at this time, in control, plotted to murder all the Jews in his kingdom. The story of Purim is the story of Jews who preferred to assimilate rather than return to the land that the God of the world gave to them and wanted them to live in according to his laws, to set an example for mankind of what man can accomplish by living a disciplined and righteous life. Purim is about a community of failed Zionists who should have left when Cyrus allowed them to, but did not. I can also point to the direct line of assimilation in Germany, starting in the Age of Reason, 18th century, and the emancipation of Jews during the Napoleonic Wars at the end of the 18th and beginning of the 19th century, and this led directly, I believed, right to the gas chambers in Auschwitz and Birkenau. The giving of citizenship with full rights to Jews at that time took them out of their ghettos. Napoleon did that, and that stemmed from the intellectuals of the age who had abandoned Christianity. One of them was Thomas Jefferson, not responsible for Napoleon, but like others, Jefferson was an enlightened thinker. He edited the New Testament, I have a copy, removing all miracles. For him, the New Testament was a book of ethics. All the rest was myth, legend, folklore, magic, and superstition. And one unintended consequence of that was the realization among the thinkers in the West that the persecution of the Jews no longer made any sense. They were no longer believed to have killed the Messiah and really God himself. And the intellectuals then may have jettisoned their faith in Jesus, but the common man did not. And the common man was uncomfortable in their presence still in the public square. Think of the American South in the days of the Jim Crow laws, when Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus, white people didn't want to sit next to a black person, and 2 centuries ago, lots of goyim in Germany didn't want to sit next to Jews either in the public space. And the Jews, so many of them in this anti-religious environment, chose to convert to Christianity. Not because they believed in it, no more than their Gentile post-Christian neighbors, but because citizenship, notwithstanding, the free professions commonly required a profession of the Christian faith. And in order to join, you had to be a Christian. In my lifetime, in tolerant America, getting to top-flight universities, medical schools, law schools, for Jews was still difficult. Legally, in the States, there were similar requirements reserving membership in different jobs, state jobs, to Christians. As late as the early 19th century, I believe, in New Hampshire, they still had laws like that. So the Jews in great numbers in Germany converted to Christianity, and what ensued was an unholy mess that led to Jews intermarrying in great numbers. 2 centuries ago, some of Germany's best writers were converts, starting with Heinrich Heine. all of whom wrote on their conflicted identities. In England in this time, Benjamin Disraeli also was a young convert who became prime minister. This was the age of Mendelssohn, the composer, Felix, a convert, a grandson of Moses Mendelssohn, soulmate of Immanuel Kant. While remaining a Jew, he himself died 25 years before the rise of the Reform movement and always lived an Orthodox life, but his spirit led to the slippery slope of Reform Judaism and ultimate conversion. In 1819, in German universities, there were protest riots against the presence of Jews in the classrooms. And it did not help that one reason the Jews were hated was, in this situation, their superior intellectual skills of a people studying the Bible and Talmud for thousands of years. These riots were called the Hep-Hep riots, likely the origin of Hip-Hip Hooray. Only Hep, H-E-P, is believed to have been an acronym for the three-word Latin cheer of the Crusaders, chanted in their savagery against Jews. Jerusalema est perdita. Jerusalem is lost. It was a gloating over the Jews as homeless losers. In 1848, Europe experienced one political upheaval after another, and in Germany, the maelstrom was such, with its attendant Jew hatred. Within a decade, 250,000 Jews fled Germany for the United States, and surely tens of thousands of others went to other countries. Then came the 1870s, when the term antisemitismus was finally coined. It was the talk of the intellectual salons at the time, as an explanation for a timeless Jew hatred. This time was not religious. The term was invented to take the place of the deicide charge. And then in 1889, Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, was born into a culture of anti-Semitic chatter all over Europe, and he too recoiled from the intermarriage of the Jews, who were, in his view, polluting the German folk with their corrupt blood. They were like an infestation of a plague that had to be gassed and burned out of Germany, burned out of the continent and the world. And now we have here 70% of American Jewry voting with the Enlightened and for Hillary Clinton, who in the year 2010, if you remember, squawked for 45 minutes into the ear of our prime minister, this woman who appears to be a criminal grafter, accomplice to a serial rapist, a compulsive and chronic liar who opens a charity for the poor to pay for her daughter's wedding to an assimilating Jew. I don't know what bothers me more, the loss of these American Jews' Jewish identity or their cowardly denial of reality, which turns them into stupid Jews, as stupid as all of her supporters, stupid for voting for an image and not the real Hillary Rodham Clinton, this monstrosity of a feminist who in secret is a rapist's assistant, this junkie addicted to the fallacy of doing anything a man can do in order to assuage her neurotic sense of inferiority as a woman, who lacked all self-respect when she discovered she had married a sexual predator and betrayer of her. A healthy woman walks out in that situation. Hillary, by contrast, stayed, because then she would be a nobody, and the path to the Oval Office be cut off. So, obsessed with becoming the first woman president, she abased herself as a woman by sticking around and becoming his accomplice. So this week's presidential election was a bag of mixed emotions. Like other sober people, I think, when I heard the news of Trump's triumph yesterday morning, I felt such relief and couldn't stop smiling. But the time difference, 10 hours between Israel and when the polls closed in California, was not going to stay up to wait for the news. And in the morning, fearful of a Hillary victory, I deliberately did not turn on the news until after not only Shacharis prayers, but after a breakfast, which I wanted to enjoy, as all the polls kept saying she would. And indeed, as it turned out, she did get a majority of the votes. Apparently the pollsters did not factor in, or could not factor in, the influence of the Electoral College system on their systems. Thank God for that. But then, as the reactions to his victory and her defeat came in, well, talk about mixed emotions. Trump's victory is surely a wonderful short-term pleasure, but the future does not bode well.
השם לעשות עם אלהי, גדיל השם לעשות עמנו, היינו שמחים. שוב השם את שביתנו, כך הקניבה נגב, הזורים בדימה, שחזר רבו יבוא יבוא ברינה נושא על אומותיו.
And that was Psalm 126. So, Baruch Hashem, Donald Trump won. He is no great prize, but in terms of suitability for the position, the choice of him over her was a no-brainer. He has had a lifetime of leadership. He has had the brains to delegate authority to a team of intelligent people, whom he recognizes know much more about many topics than he does. He was never my cup of tea with his building casinos and golf courses for the rich and his serial marriages and his cheesecake beauty contest of women in bikinis and high heels on parade. In the age of the founding fathers of Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, gambling was illegal, and women parading around like that was unheard of. But again, compared to Hillary Rodham Clinton, well, this woman, I think, internally is a volcano of rage and instability, virtually a pathological liar, no inhibitions about lying in order to get what she wants. As Secretary of State, she basically flung the door open to America's security secrets, open to the world, for which she deserves life imprisonment, for destroying evidence, for everything the FBI found out about her. And all this completely separate from being Bill Clinton's accomplice in rape and menacing his victims. What has amazed me over the last day is the response of her supporters, who see in Trump supporters women haters. They did not vote for her because they hate women, the Clintonites say, and they don't want women to aspire to anything a man aspires to. This was in some of the comments today in the media here, like elsewhere. I'm simply dumbfounded by the hysterical blindness to what became known of this woman's crimes. J-Post's news editor, no less, news editor, opined on the front page, this is Noah Amuyal, that this was, here's the headline of her piece, "A Defeat for Feminism." She wrote that while she did not agree with Hillary 100%, she admired her strength and fortitude and her poise under adversity, close quote. Apparently this news editor never saw Hillary testifying before Congress over the death of four men she could have prevented, saying, what does it matter? This is being poised? This is behavior of a would-be commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces? For Ms. Amuyal, Hillary did not break the glass ceiling, which in her mind is a tragedy, a defeat for feminism. I read her opinion, which was widespread among Hillary supporters. That was the majority of the electorate at the polls, and I thought, Lord have mercy on us. These are American voters who come off as not only ignorant of what has been learned about this woman, this news editor, they have no room in their judging for searching for her accomplishments, for her failures, for her record. And this woman, to repeat, Secretary of State, threw open the State Department to the world to ransack it for information. But this apparently made no impression on news editor Noah Amuyal, and no impression on so many of Hillary's idolaters. Her performance in politics, to them, is immaterial. People voted against her, they believe, not because of her own character, merits, and demerits, but how they feel about women in general. And they nastily object to women rising to the top, breaking through the glass ceiling. Another female journalist at the Jerusalem Post interviewed a couple of American women living in Israel, and one also said, quote, America is a very male chauvinist country, to be honest, even more than Israel. She said that she had worked on Wall Street, and that was a very male world. And precisely because of this experience of discrimination, she said Clinton could bring a different perspective, as President Obama did as the country's first black president. I find this way of thinking isolated from reality. It does not occur to such Hillary supporters that maybe because she is a grafter, a reckless lawbreaker, guilty even if unintentionally of treason, the sexual predator's helper, people voted for Trump as the lesser of two admittedly less than palatable people. And not only that, these Hillaryites believe that Trump is a racist and a propagator of anti-Semitism, a hater of Latinos and women and immigrants. This list, by the way, came out of the mouth of Daniel Kurtzer, former dean of students at university, who chose not to worship at the altar of the Jewish people, but the altar of James Baker, and thus be rewarded with the role of ambassador to Israel, just like his soulmate, Matt Nindick. I found myself today slack-jawed at the squawking demonstrators last night across America rejecting Trump's legal victory and putting on display their ignorance of the American electoral system, which in the past has known such victories by the candidate who did not win the popular vote. It's not the first time. Like that Chicana journalist in the last webcast who thought illegal aliens had the moral, if not the legal right, to vote, and should vote because it was the moral thing to do. Not to allow them the right to vote when they lived here and contribute is racism. Mixed emotions today, therefore, because despite the relief at the defeat of that poor, tormented creature Hillary Clinton, I'm amazed and frightened by the tens of millions of Americans who did vote for her. Apparently, all the WikiLeaks info and books by insiders in the governor's mansion in Little Rock and in the White House meant nothing to these people. This woman is a criminal and a proven threat to the security of the United States, and yet they voted for her. I don't know about you, but this scares the hell out of me. Trump may or may not be a good president, but even so, that's only going to be for 4 or even 8 years. Then what? I truly believe there's some evil spirit in the air, in the atmosphere. Not only in the States, but here in Israel and certainly in Europe, where Geert Wilders is on trial for saying he did not want any more Moroccans coming into his country, where already women and children, women and girls, are afraid to go out at night. He's on trial for saying that. And then we saw Christiane Amanpour on TV. She's married to another State Department Jew boy. She expressed her distress at Geert Wilders because, quote, he wants the Dutch to have their country back. She actually said that. She's upset by that. This is madness.
משעתות, מזייפות, מטשטשות לי את שביל הזהב, מתנגנות בי, משקרות לי, מציקות. רציתי להבין קצת, להרגיש איזה ערך, ושמחתי עלייך שאת תגלי לי את הדרך. ונשמתי אוויר מזוהם והלכתי בערך, התהלכתי שולל עד לך. אני רואה, אני מרגיש, אני רוצה, אני אדיש, אני חכם, אני יכול, אני גיבור כל כך גדול, הכל אני, אני הכל, אני חזק, אני בתוך בועה, סתם מנופח בלי שום ערך, וידעתי בסופו של דבר היא תתפוצץ לי בדרך. התביישתי כמו מצורע, הרגשתי בערך, ואולי זה הכל עד לכאן, והלוואי שזה הכל עד לכאן. ישנים, משתגעים, מתנסים, רואים ונשרפים לאורו של ירח, להשתגע, להתבדע, סתם כי מישהו רצה כל כך להרגיש כמו איזה מלך, ושמח רק עלייך שאת תגלי לו את הדרך. אמרת לו שהוא מיוחד, הוא אוהב שאת משקרת, הזיות, הזיות עד לך. אני רואה, אני מרגיש, אני רוצה, אני אדיש, אני
שדבר זה התפוצץ לי בדרך, התביישתי כמו מצ... צורה הרגשתי בערך והלוואי זה הכל עד לכאן והלוואי שזה הכל עד לכאן והלוואי שזה הכל עד לכאן
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yes, Christian Amanpour and the Western Left. It's like a spinning gyroscope, a dreidel, a spinning top, losing speed and starting to wobble. They're wobbling in their judgment. And this is beyond political differences, beyond legitimate debate over social policy, one policy versus another, which will benefit the country and the one that will not. This is something else. Amanpour and her community of otherwise, like Hillary, intelligent and highly educated people, look upon Geert Wilders, upon Trump supporters, as haters. J-Post today reported on one young woman at an election eve shindig Tuesday night in New York, for nubile Hillary supporters, who broke into tears at the news of her defeat, saying, quote, I don't understand how this could happen. I don't know how people could have so much hatred. That's why they voted the way they did. They hate her with no basis. That's the implication. This reminds yours truly of a debate I had 20 years ago in a packed conservative synagogue in Westchester County against the head of the American branch of Peace Now. This was in the run-up to the Israeli elections at that time between Netanyahu and Peres for prime ministership. And it was 3 years into the Oslo abomination already, and I made clear off the bat that there was no Palestinian people, and every time the next speaker used the term, I told the audience, he would be using an anti-Semitic concept, and I explained why I thought that was. And so when it was Mr. Peace Now's turn, he was speechless for the longest time, then blurted out his rejection of such hatred coming from me. I spoke facts. I used logic. I expressed no hatred for anything or anybody, but this is what leftists hear and experience. Disagree with them, and they claim you are full of hatred. In Israel, they shriek, you are inciting against the left, the way Netanyahu incited against Rabin, which led to his murder. Well, that evening in Westchester, I was not full of hatred, but love for the Jewish people, and spoke out against the fashionable pro-Palestinian Tory and excreta polluting the conversation about this phantom nationality being persecuted by Israelis. So I'm seriously worried for the future of the United States and really the West, when in truth, most of the voters yesterday voted for that woman, that criminal, and did so apparently in a state of mental confusion or error. The Trump voters voted against Hillary, they believe, because they are bigots who don't want a woman to become president. Well, on a lighter note, to return to what made us all smile yesterday, the triumph of the candidate who wants to destroy Obamacare, thank God, cancel every one of Obama's fatwa-like executive orders, thank God. And those executive orders, every one of them trashing the American political system. As surely as that Chicana journalist wanted to smash immigration laws. As Obama smashed or did not allow the barrier with Mexico to stop the influx. The candidate who wants to destroy the Iran deal, which is so injurious to Israel. He is a pro-Israelite Trump and makes no pretense of siding with the allegedly ancient ones. Newt Gingrich, an historian before becoming a politician with the sensibility of an historian, is being, I understand, considered for Secretary of State. He who has said the Palestinians are an artificial identity, bless you, Newt. He did not say a phantom nation, but that's good enough. Last webcast before the elections, I said that if Trump wins, it will be time to junk all the ideas and values and policies of the Oslo abomination. And yesterday, Education Minister and head of the Jewish Home Party, Naftali Bennett, said more or less the same thing. He said, quote, Trump's victory is an opportunity to immediately retract the notion of a Palestinian state in the center of the country, which would hurt our security and our just cause. In the same J-Post piece, by the way, a Zionist Union MK leftist Meirav Michaeli was reported to have complained that Trump, quote, ran on a banner of harming and humiliating women, and she expressed disappointment that Hillary Clinton was not allowed to break the glass ceiling to become the first female U.S. president. I find this all rather amazing. Trump has made clear that when it comes to Israeli security, wonder of wonders, Israel will decide what's best for Israel. He also accepts Netanyahu's view, and my view, and your view, that the settlements in Judea and Samaria are not the cause of the absence of peace. Trump speaks like that. And here we have an Israeli feminist MK preferring Hillary, who faithfully carry out the anti-Jew policies of her boss, Obama. Naftali Bennett is right. The two-state solution is the fruit of the Oslo mindset of Peres and Rabin that failed big time. And it is functionally dehumanizing to demand that Israel carry out that vision, which Bennett rightly observes would harm Israel, and I add even cripple and destroy Israel. The two-state solution, I've long observed, is a call for an expulsion of Jews, twice the number of those expelled from Spain, and strip Israel of the natural defense wall of the hills of Judea and Samaria. It is an inhuman demand of the people of Israel that no people in their right minds in our situation would agree to. It is a demand for this massive expulsion and the ultimate suicide of the state of Israel. And if that isn't anti-Semitism, what is?
עלינו לשבח לאדון הכל לתת גדולה ליוצר בראשית שלא עשנו כגויי הארצות ולא שמנו כמשפחות האדמה שלא שם חלקנו כהם וגורלנו ככל המונם ואנחנו קוראים ומשתחווים ומודים לפני מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא שהוא נוטה שמיים ויוסד ארץ ומושב יקרו בשמיים ממעל ושכינת עוזו בגובי מרומים הוא אלוקינו אין עוד בית מלכינו אפס ולתו ככתוב בתורתו וידעת היום והשבות אל לבביך כי השם הוא האלוקים בשמיים ממעל ועל הארץ מתחת אין עוד עלינו לשבח לאדון הכל לתת גדולה ליוצר בראשית שלא עשנו כגויי הארצות ולא שמנו כמשפחות האדמה שלא שם חלקנו כהם גורלנו ככל המונם ואנחנו קוראים משתחווים ומודים לפני מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך שהוא נוטה שמיים ויוסד ארץ ומושב יקרו בשמיים ממעל ושינת עוזו בגובי מרומים הוא אלוקינו אין עוד אמת מלכינו אפס ולתו בתורתו וידעת היום מהשבות אל לבביך כי השם הוא האלוקים בשמיים ממעל ועל הארץ מתחת אין עוד
Okay, that's it for this very interesting week. And I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath until Sunday. Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yehuda.